In Luke 22:7-30, we read these words. Now the day of the Passover celebration arrived when the Passover lamb was killed and eaten with the unleavened bread. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to find a place to prepare their Passover meal. Where do you want us to go? They asked. And he replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, you will see a man walking along carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the man who lives there, our teacher says for you to show us the guest room where he can eat the Passover meal with his disciples. He will take you upstairs to a large room all ready for us. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare the meal there. They went off to the city. They found everything just as Jesus had said and prepared the Passover supper. Then Jesus and the others arrived and at the proper time all sat down together at the table. And he said, I have looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat it again until what it represents has occurred in the kingdom of God. Then he took a glass of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it apart and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. After supper, he gave them another glass of wine, saying, this wine is a token of God's new agreement to save you. An agreement sealed with the blood I shall pour out to purchase back your souls. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. I must die. It is part of God's plan, but oh, the horror awaiting that man who betrays me. And his disciples wondered among themselves which of them would ever do such a thing. And they began to argue among themselves as to who would have the highest rank in the coming kingdom. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men order their slaves around, and the slaves have no choice but to like it. But among you, the one who serves you best will be your leader. Well, out in the world, the master sits at the table, served by his servants, but not here, for I am your servant. Nevertheless, because you have stood true to me in these terrible days, and because my Father has granted me a kingdom, I here and now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in that kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in this passage, in verses 17 and 19, we see that this actually becomes rather evident in our Holy Communion reading, that these verses have special significance. And again, when we read about Holy Communion, we understand just how significant these passages are. But specifically, these two verses stand out, and here's why. Because it shows us the act of Jesus giving thanksgiving to his Heavenly Father for the bread and the cup. With Thanksgiving fast approaching, and the practices and the rituals of this holiday hastening, we are reminded of one specific event that should realistically be a part of everyone's Thanksgiving family feast. And it is a single word that has come to mean so little to man and so much to God. That one word is grace. And when God says it, its meaning is far different than man's. Now, I have to ask, it's just part of my curious nature, and you don't have to answer out loud, but I'm sure you're going to be thinking about it. And that question is this: how does the giving of grace go down in your house prior to the family feast? In essence, I am guessing that the family member or friend that is deemed the most holy or the most godly or the most willing, the one who says, I'll take it, I'll do it, I won't even question it, that's the person who is going to give grace. And I'm guessing that everyone else says, we love that person that he or she is willing to give grace. A lot of people run from that opportunity. Some people will find themselves in the bathroom or run to the kitchen and say, not me, not this year, not me. But for those who raise their hand and say, I want to say grace, I want to give grace, those are the people who maybe are going to pray, but also may see the full and deeper understanding and meaning of what that prayer actually means. But when we talk about grace with God, something changes. It becomes deeper. You see, when we pray it, and when the people hear it and they follow along with it, in many cases, they might not even understand it. For them, it's a prayer before eating. But for God, it's a prayer with meaning. You see, grace has a different meaning to God. You see, grace is deeper to God. And grace is something that's given to us by God. The question is, how much do we really know about grace? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible defines grace as favor or kindness shown without regard to the worth or merit of one who receives it, and in spite of what that same person deserves. Webster's definition of grace doesn't really differ much from what was previously read. It identifies grace as man's simple thanksgiving and God's all-encompassing love. Now, sadly, man's grace is oftentimes limited to a prayer of thanksgiving before eating, but according to God's word, and when he says grace, it is more meaningful, it is more powerful, and it is more impactful. And let me give you an example. It's interesting because Genesis 6:8 tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's what we know about this. Noah, in essence, essentially and undeservedly and unconditionally, and this is important, that he essentially received favor from his heavenly Father. And Noah didn't deserve it. And I don't even know if Noah expected it. But God said, you, Noah, you're the man that I will show favor to. You're the man that I am going to give a blessing to. And because Noah found favor, Noah was able to accomplish great things for God. It's not limited to just Noah. In fact, we can move on and see in Genesis 39:4, we find that Joseph actually found grace in God's sight. Moses did as well. Exodus 33:17. The list of Old Testament receivers and possessors of grace is long, including famous names like Gideon and Ruth, and surprisingly, even the people of Israel who ultimately would return from exile. God's Old Testament grace was covenantal. Let's make sure we understand what covenantal is. It's not a word that we use very often. But it was covenantal. And that means that it was promised to his people of Israel. When God makes a covenant, God keeps the covenant. But it doesn't end there. You see, it was not deserved by his people. They didn't do anything to deserve it. In fact, in reality, many people would say they shouldn't even get it. But God was kind in what he did. He showed favor to the people who loved him and followed him. And so he gave them this grace. In fact, God's grace was never about what we deserve. Rather, and more importantly, it's about what he kindly gives. Today, God says, I want to give you grace. Today, God says, I want you to understand grace. And on Thursday, when we bow our heads before our Thanksgiving meal, I hope today that we will understand what grace means, not only today, but on that day. Grace is important. Grace is powerful. God's grace is something that we can receive and something that he will always give. Nehemiah 9:17 tells us that God is indeed gracious. The psalmist in Psalm 84:11 indicates that he gives us grace. No wonder why in Malachi 1, verse 9, the prophet pleads and says, God, be gracious to us. God is indeed the Father of favor, and he is indeed the giver of all grace. So how do you respond to this? Does it mean something to you? Is there something deeper there that maybe we're missing? Something deeper there that maybe we should be looking at or receiving? When God gives grace, it's filled with blessing. It's powerful, and it's impactful. Now, I know that we're not yet to Christmas, and this is obviously the precursor to Christmas, but are you willing to receive this gift from God? How important is this gift from God? If you go before God and you say, God, give me grace, do you understand that it is favor that we don't deserve? It's a gift that he gives because he loves us even when we don't deserve this. That's what God's grace looks like. Today we should be grateful for the grace that God shows. In the New Testament or New Covenant, grace is given by the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in Jesus. Luke 2:40 tells us that the grace of God was upon Jesus. And now we start to see something. Because now we get to see that if God is the author and giver of grace, that God has now made Jesus a part of that grace. Simply put, Jesus was not only the beneficiary of God's grace, but as the Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible says it, he's also its very embodiment. If God's the giver, Jesus is also the possessor. He has it. He shows it. And today when we honor him by partaking of the sacraments, we fully understand what grace is. A gift that no one deserved, but that God through his son kindly gave. You know, Peter understood this. In Acts 15:11, in front of a large crowd, and again, if we can just see that host of people before him, Peter addressed the crowd with these strong words. And he says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. For Peter and others like him throughout the Old and the New Testaments, grace was more than just a prayer. It was a promise given by God through the Holy Spirit that was ultimately secured by the sacrifice of Jesus. John said in John 1, 16 and 17, he says, from the fullness of his, and his meaning Jesus, he says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So when God says grace, it's great because it's the assurance of eternal life through the sacrificial life of our Son and our Savior. Folks, today we are here because we understand that sacrifice. Today we're going to partake of these elements. We're going to honor the sacrament because Jesus Christ made the sacrifice. When we talk about grace and we talk about favor, that's the ultimate gift given to us, every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is a promise. How do you receive the gift? What do we do with that grace? When God says grace, he says it because he means it. We didn't do anything to deserve it or earn it. We simply receive it from Jesus when we choose to believe in and live for and love Jesus. We're assured of this truth in Titus 2:11, which says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's strange. On Thanksgiving, a day that's known for turkey and eating, that today, on this day when we honor the sacrament, partake of the elements, that we get to see how much God loves us and how much he's willing to give to us. That's grace. It doesn't even end there. You see, folks, it's only by our Father's favor or his grace that mankind can be saved. Now, this is interesting because this is the work that's done by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, who, listen to this, in Hebrews 10:29, he is called the Spirit of grace. So now we're going to see, we call this the Trinity. It's the unity of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, all of them, especially as we read Hebrews 10:29, all of them possessors and givers of grace. It's not limited to one, it's limited to all three who wants to give grace, who wants mankind to experience salvation wholly and fully. This is the promise that God makes. You see, that convicting power is a gift that shows us and convicts us of our sins so that we can seek out and love God's Son. Many people said, I want to know Jesus. I want to love Jesus. How do I know Jesus? And I can tell you this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and convicts us of our sin, and we literally chase after Jesus and we say, Jesus, you've been here all along. God, you've loved me all along. But here's what we know. The Holy Spirit has to convict us to remind us that we are not holy until we are saved. We are not righteous before we are saved. We are not even good, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, until we are saved by Jesus Christ. This is a gift. This is grace. Today we need it. When we say grace, it's a prayer before a meal, oftentimes uttered at Thanksgiving. When God says grace, it's so much more than a human prayer. It's his amazing power and his amazing favor that has been around and continues to be given to undeserving man to bring him to eternal life. This is God's goal for us. God's desire for us is that we will know and believe in and love his Son Jesus. That is what he wants for us. So when we partake of the feast on this Thanksgiving, I hope and I pray that when we pray this Thanksgiving, that we will be grateful and that we will give God thanksgiving for what he's given us, a gift too wonderful for words. Let's read Ephesians 1:6 through 8. It's interesting because Paul kind of summarizes what we've been saying here, and he does it in a way that we can all relate to. He says, now all praise to God for his wonderful kindness to us and his favor. Remember we said favor is grace. He says, and his favor that he has poured out upon us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. So here we see it, that God's grace is tied in to this salvation, that when we choose to believe in Jesus and live for Jesus and love Jesus, that we are saved by and through Jesus. Paul goes on. He says this, so overflowing is his, meaning God's kindness toward us, that he took away all of our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved, and he has showered down upon us the richness of his grace, for how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. Paul said in Romans 3:10, he says, as the scriptures say, no one is good, no one in all the world is innocent. In Romans 3:23, he says, yes, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Now, I want to think about this for a moment. Because, folks, if none of us are good enough, and none of us can be saved by the works that we do or the good that we do, then how are we actually saved? And let me tell you how we're saved. We are saved by the grace of our God, by the possession of grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior, by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, who is a possessor of grace. Folks, if you want a gift, and if we want a gift, and if we truly want to be thankful this Thanksgiving, let us look to Jesus Christ. Let us believe in Him and love Him and live for Him to receive this gift. We say grace before dinner time. God's constantly giving grace all the time. When God says grace in His Word, or when He gives grace to the believers of this world, it must be received, as Romans 4:16 tells us, by faith. As we said earlier, as indicated in the Old Testament, grace was covenantal, or it was based on God's promise. Today, we are asked to trust in God and believe that God will give us, through His favor and His kindness and His grace, the salvation that He promised all of us that live for Him and follow His Son, Jesus. Let us be certain that when it comes to grace, Paul tells us in Galatians 1:15 and 2 Timothy 1:9 that we will never do anything to deserve it or earn it. Wesley College's N.A. Snaith says this about that. He says, everything, therefore, from first to last, is by grace. He goes on, he says, whether, and this is important, whether it is based on something that we think we do or based on everything that God does do. You see, when God says grace, He uses words like mercy and love and patience and strength and growth and comfort. When He says grace, He's saying, I'm merciful before You. I'm ready to forgive you. I'm patiently waiting on you. I'm eagerly longing to pour My love out before you. By and through God's grace, He's saying, I want to save you. You see, folks, this should stir in us thanksgiving. The mere fact that in God's grace that He loves us so much that He wants to save us so that we can live with Him in eternity. That's how much. Folks, this goes beyond our understanding. I mean, we can be the most giving people in the world. We can be full of gifts and full of love, but we can never possess that kind of grace. Favor, kindness, love. That's what God gives us through Jesus. I want to save you. When we say grace, we're prayerful, but when God says grace, man, it's always powerful. It doesn't end there. When we say grace this Thanksgiving, let us consider all the things that it consists of. Let us be mindful of the mercy and the forgiveness and the patience and love that has been shown to us and given to us. When we say grace, let us consider its power manifested through our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, our Lord and Savior. When we say grace, let us give thanksgiving for more than just the food and the family in this life. Let us give thanksgiving for the author and giver of grace, who gives saved man eternal life. If you are the one this Thanksgiving, and kudos to you, if you don't run to the bathroom and you don't say, I'm not going to say it, now you know that you can say it. In fact, I hope you pray it, and I hope that when you pray it and say it, I hope that you will give God all the glory and all the thanksgiving and praise Him from all your family members and friends, that you will praise Him and thank Him for His grace. When someone says, who will say grace? I pray that you'll say this. I want to say grace because I want to talk about our God, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who gives grace. That's what I hope that we can say today, or on Thursday. That's what I hope we can do and remember on this day. He is the giver of grace. So we give thanksgiving. Let us give more than just our thanksgiving, but rather, let us seek the blessings that come from God Almighty. So, we are in the cusp of a major holiday. Cusp, one of my favorite days. I love Thanksgiving. I love it. I love what it means. I love what it stands for. And I love what we can do with it. But today, let us be mindful of this. That we have a lot to be thankful for. And it starts with God. And it starts with the Holy Spirit. And it especially starts with Jesus. Today, we're going to recount exactly what Jesus did. His sacrifice and the life that He gave for each and every one of us. To receive God's grace, we must have faith in and a relationship with Jesus. Unfortunately, pride and bitterness and unforgiveness prevents this. So our sin, if unconfessed, can keep us from God's Son. That's a problem. Jesus says in Matthew 6:14 and 15, and folks, listen closely to this. Jesus says, your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those that sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you. Today we are called to forgive others while seeking forgiveness from our heavenly Father. Today we are told to give grace. And what that means is we give undeserved and unmerited favor to those people who we say, well, they don't deserve it. They don't even want it. They made me mad. They upset me. They disappoint me. They don't talk to me. They don't even love me. And I say today we're going to show grace. Today we're going to give grace. Today for every single person that's wronged us. Today for every single person that has upset us. And today for every person that doesn't talk to us. Today you're going to have an opportunity to come to this altar, confess our sins before God Almighty, and ask him to forgive us of those sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. There is no place for bitterness when we have a relationship with Jesus. None. If we're going to partake of these elements, if we are going to be united and become one with Christ, folks, I pray today that every single one of us will put away these sins and this bitterness. I pray today that we will come before this table, and I pray today when we partake of these elements that our hearts will be filled with forgiveness. If you're not talking to someone, pray about this and reach out to that someone. If you are angry with someone and you say, I don't even know if I love that someone, ask God to fill your heart with love for that someone. Do not let bitterness overcome your love for Jesus. Show every single person grace. Because when God says grace, he means it. Today, I pray that when we say grace and when we think about grace, we'll mean it. So this is our opportunity. It is our opportunity to do just that. 1 John 1:9 assures us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If anyone wishes to come to the altar now, if you say, you know what? He's talking about me. He knows me. He's been listening into my conversations. He knows what I'm thinking. I promise I haven't, and I promise I don't, but I do know this. I know that we are human, and I know that in our hearts we can harbor resentment and anger and malice and bitterness. There is no place for this when it comes to loving Jesus. None. And so let us pray today that we will be forgiven of our sins, and let us forgive our fellow man for what he has done to us. You can come to the altar and join us now if you wish. Now is the time for confession before we partake of those elements. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the grace that you show to us. Thank you for the ways that you love us. I pray today that we would reciprocate this grace. It can never be as big as yours, can never be as good as yours. But I pray today that it will be ours, that we would be able to reach out to these individuals that have wronged us and show them love. Can't be bitterness. Not for those who love Jesus, can't be bitterness. Father, I thank you for forgiving us. We're human. We make mistakes. We do things that are displeasing to you, unsettling to you. We realize that we do things that upset you, and yet you still love us, still care about us, you still forgive us. We don't deserve it, and yet you do it. And we're reminded today that that's what grace is. It's unmerited favor. It's an undying kindness. It's this great love that we can't fully even understand. It transcends our understanding, and yet you give it to us. And so today I pray, as we bow our heads before you, I pray that you will take away these things that have been harboring inside of us and living inside of us. If it's a family member, we're going to be spending a lot of time with family members. If it's a family member, I pray today that we will make the first move, that we'll call our family member and say we're sorry. Tell them how much we love them. Tell them that how much Jesus loves us. And I pray today that we would be empowered through the Holy Spirit to do this, because, again, this is what you call us to do. Let us never forget the words that Jesus has given us, I pray. And I ask today that you would help us as we move forward and partake of the elements and think about Jesus' sacrifice. I pray today that we would live our lives in sacrifice. I pray that we would be willing to show favor. And I pray that we would be willing to give ourselves to you and to others. Father, this thing called Christianity is all about love. It is about a relationship. It will never be a religion. And I pray today that you would develop in us, put in us a desire to know you more, to serve you more, to understand you more, and to love you more. Thank you, Father, for what you do for us, and thank you for this time of Holy Communion that reminds us that you are with us. Thank you for what Jesus was willing to do on that cross. And thank you for the sacrifice that you were willing to make by giving up your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all these things according to your will. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, these words of John come from Jesus in Revelation 3:20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing hymn number 460. Let us break bread together. Well, folks, as many of you know, we have communion six times a year. And I always say, you know, it's interesting because we try to do it for holidays. And some people say, why do you do it for holidays? And let me explain why. And I think this sermon kind of encapsulates why we do it. We spend a lot of time with family. You're going to be spending a lot of time with family. Some say, that's a good thing. And others say, not such a good thing. Well, today, we see that God's grace is paramount, that he's sovereign, that he gives us what we don't deserve. And so today, as we partake of what's going to be, and we know what's going to be coming with our Thanksgiving feast and spending time with family, I'm just hopeful that we will show the same grace to our family members that God has shown to us. And so as part of this, that's why we do this, to be reminded of what we are called to be like, what we're called to do before our family members, especially on these great holidays that God has given to us. And so this is Holy Communion, one of the six times we do it per year. Let me tell you a few things about this. If you want to come to the table or to the altar, you can. You certainly can do that. A lot of people do. You can kneel, you can stand, we don't care if you stand on the pew. That's okay. In addition, we will bring it to you. If you say, nah, I don't think I want to come down here, but if you want us to bring it out there, we can. And so we're happy to do that. We don't use wine. We use grape juice. And we also ask that as part of Holy Communion, that those who partake would be believers and followers of Jesus Christ. We are going to partake together. So just to let you know, cups are stacked. And so we will give you the cue on when we will partake as a church congregation and family together. We'll give you that indication. And so with that said, we will now ask for our servers and our ushers to come forward. Our Heavenly Father, who mercifully gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who at the cross offered himself as a full and perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world, and who instituted in his holy gospel the command for us to continue this perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we pray, and help us as we receive this bread according to your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, that we would remember his passion and his death and his resurrection, and that we might partake of the divine nature through him, who in the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. After supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Folks, before we depart from the altar today, you have to see this to just really understand this, but this is, how long have we been doing this? I don't think we've ever had a baby at the altar. And look at little Kay, this is so special. Yes, Kay, I'm talking about you. You should see her face right now. It's like, why is he talking about me? He's scary. Yes, I get it. I got a smile. There we go. Good. So, folks, it's special. And again, we get to see dedicated parents who are truly dedicated to bringing their child up in a Christian home. We shall never forget that baby Kay made her way to the altar for Thanksgiving communion. We'll be talking about this a long time. Folks, you may return to your seats as you wish. Folks, never forget And I can't stress this enough. Never, ever forget to give us your prayer request. We've seen God do some amazing things in this church, and we're reminded of that. And especially on a day when we honor Jesus Christ, we're reminded of what Jesus can do through us. And if there is a resurrection, and there was, and we know this, and we celebrate it today, then we also know that if God can resurrect his son, he can heal anyone. That we know, and we've seen it. There are miracles that abound. And so today I pray that you would, and that you would all join us together. We join together in praying for every one of these names that are on this list. There are people that are going to be struggling and suffering through a Thanksgiving, perhaps nothing that they ever anticipated. And so just pray that God will be with them and give them comfort, strength, and hope. Feel free to join us here at the altar for a pastoral prayer if you wish. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spend this time with you, and especially recounting the death and resurrection of Jesus. You cared enough about us that you allowed your son to be sacrificed, knowing, of course, that resurrection would lead believing mankind to eternal life. And Father, I pray that we would adhere to your word and teach your word, and that we would share this gospel message of Jesus Christ and the good news that comes from it, that we will share it with everyone that we know. I pray, Father, that you will strengthen us and encourage us in those times of ministry that you put before us. Many might come on Thursday as we're in front of family members. And I pray today, Father, that we will see those opportunities to share what he is for and how he has changed all of us. We ask this according to your will. Father, thank you for patience. We need it. Thank you for peace. We ask for it. And we thank you for your grace because we know that you give it. Father, I pray today that you will prepare us as we embark on this Thanksgiving celebration that's forthcoming. I pray that you'll keep those who travel. I pray that you'll keep them safe. I pray that you would help all of us who gather with family members. I pray that we would be a blessing to them. And I pray that we would show them Jesus. And I ask it according to your will. Every name that's on our bulletin, every person that has need, and every single one of them is important to us. We pray. Give them peace, give them hope and comfort, and I pray that you will offer them healing, and I pray that your perfect and sovereign will be done. We trust you, we love you, and we need you, and I pray today that you would make your presence manifest among them and especially in front of all of us. Thank you for the miracles that you wield, and thank you for the power that you possess. We're grateful for it. And I pray, Father, now that you would fill each and every one of us with the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would be empowered by the Spirit to go out and do the ministry that you've put before us, to volunteer and serve and help right here in our own church. And I pray that you would empower us to give to others and help others outside of this church. And I pray today that we would honor you in all that we do. Thank you for helping us to see what Thanksgiving truly is. And thank you for making your grace evident to us today. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and close with our final song to share among our family, to let everybody know what God has done for all of us. He has an amazing amount of grace to be shown to us. We're grateful for it. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for showing us just how much you love us. And I pray today that as you've called us to go out and do our ministry, maybe our ministry is right there in our home on Thursday. I just pray that you will help us to show grace, and I pray that you would help us to show others what your grace has done for us. We're grateful for the ministry that you've put before us. Help us to not run from it. I pray that we'll welcome it, and I pray that you would help us to show everyone what Jesus can do for them. Father, I thank you for this day today. I give you all the praise and the glory that you deserve, and today I thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that today. Go with us and keep us safe, and help us, I pray, immerse us in the love that you have for us, and help us to show that love toward others. Help us to give that kind of grace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. God bless.